You had bubble wrap, and you walk on it. So, anyhow, enough of that. Anyhow, I think I'm on. All right, good deal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as far as a start-off point for a few weeks. I think we'll continue with that. Paul writing to the Corinthians here, obviously. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So what I'm going to try and focus on here this morning is where it says, "but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty." Dishonest things are always hidden. If you go to buy something and there's dishonesty within the sale, they don't put it right up front. It's not a storefront thing they're going to announce or they're going to say, you know. They kind of hide it. They put it in small print or they avoid telling you altogether. So the hidden things of dishonesty. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I want you to understand that the hidden things of dishonesty has to do with men. And we're going to bring it down and concentrate a little more on what men we're talking about. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, Paul writes here, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." So, here Paul is given a revelation to those that are working deceitfully, those things of dishonesty there that are hidden. He's telling you to keep an eye out for these men. They're false apostles, deceitful workers, and what do? They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he said, don't marvel at that only. If that shocks you, get a grip of this, he says. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And we covered the fact that most people think their understanding of Satan today is a red man, you know, red suit, pointy tail, horns, pitchfork, and he's down in hell. Well, the Bible reveals him to us. We don't have to guess. We don't have to accept the wives' tales that's come down through history as being gospel truth. We go into the Word of God. The devil is an angel. He presents himself not dark, not sinister, not wrapped up in dark clothing and hidden in the shadows. He transforms himself as an angel of light. He wants to impress. He wants to be like the Most High God. And that's his goal. And so consequently, he, the devil, has his workers. And therein lies the hidden things of dishonesty. So let's look at a few of these things. Go back to John chapter 8. Look in John chapter 8. And one thing that the devil hates is shining a light in the darkness that he hides in. You know, his whole cover. And that's what God's Word did. It brought him out from back there and reveals him to us today. Well, let's look at some of his workers back in the day of Christ. In John chapter 8, look in verse 41. "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is a prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Had not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed?'" I'm sorry. Nobody flagged me at all. I'm like, this is not matching anything. Nobody goes, "Wait, where are you?" I was just testing you to see if you're awake. I know where I'm going. Hey, guys, if it starts that way, it won't finish any better. Just got to tell you. If that train is on that track, that's where you're going. Let's try the verse I gave you, not the one I was testing you on. Yeah, it's embarrassing. John 8, verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Are we there?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Pretty hard-hitting messages here by the Lord. You know, sometimes we envision Jesus Christ as being this weak, patsy guy that just is going to open-arm everybody and just give them a big loving hug. The fact of the matter is, he knew who he was dealing with here as he addressed them. Ye are of your father who? The devil. So the devil has a family on this earth, has a bunch of kids. Well, when the Lord came, there they are. And he's addressing the Pharisees of that time. So where is the hidden things of darkness working? During the days of Jesus Christ, it was in the Jewish Pharisees there where he addressed them here. You do the deeds of your father, and your, which is the devil, he says, and the lust of your father ye will do, down in verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. There are two lines, and we kind of cover this on Wednesday night. There are two lines of character in your Bible. In other words, you have God, then you have everything related to God given in the Scripture. On the other side is the devil. Then you see everything related to the devil. For instance, the Lord God is all truth. Well, what do we see here in John chapter 8, verse 44? We see that the devil is a liar. We see God Almighty given life, whether it was Adam that he created and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul, or it's the eternal life we get through the Lord Jesus Christ. God gives life. What does the Bible say that the devil is? He's a murderer. He takes life. So we want to get some understanding of the children that he has, because he said, you are of your father, the devil. And so they do the deeds of the father. Look in John chapter 12. In John chapter 12, look in verse 37. John 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, I want to just make comment here. Verse 37 talked about the Lord doing all of these miracles right before them. All the miracles he did was right before him, yet they believed him not. Then they quote, John quotes, Isaiah. And here in Isaiah, he says, Lord, who have believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? The report there has to do with the miracles in the previous verse. That's the report. Here's the report of Jesus Christ. He's doing all these miracles, but they didn't believe him. And so that's why Isaiah writes, who had believed our report? Kind of sarcastically. The answer is nobody has. They didn't trust Jesus Christ. They didn't receive Jesus Christ, even though he did the miracles right there before them. And then in verse 39, therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. tell them these things, said Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. There's part of the problem. There's part of the problem. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, there's something about man in his nature that likes that praise. There's something about man in his nature that wants to get in front of people and have them laud and applaud him. It's ego. It's pride. And these guys here in the days of Jesus Christ were eaten up with it. They wanted the praise of men more than the praise of God. And you see it today, folks. Don't think for a moment those mega churches, that those men up front don't eat that stuff up. Don't think for a moment they don't. Multi-millionaires, got houses all over. Hey, they got it. They wrote books. They put out videos. But what are they preaching? That's what you have to check. That's what you have to be careful of. What are they preaching? Because I'm going to tell you, you wouldn't know a false preacher if you didn't have this book. This book is a light, and it shines on them, and it reveals them. Because if you don't have it, they would maintain their position of being hidden in dishonesty. And so the Lord is bringing them to light. They didn't appreciate it too much. They didn't like the way He brought their character out and identified them as being the children of the devil. Didn't care for it too much. Look over in Matthew 23, because He didn't get any better here. I mean, they didn't sit down and have a kumbaya moment here. Things that were bad got worse. Matthew 23. And we're not, I mean, the entire chapter of Matthew 23 is just the hammer on top of the nail head. I mean, He is lowering the boom. So we're not going to cover the entire chapter. But I do want to grab a few things here just to let you know the people He's dealing with, how corrupt and what kind of character these had. In Matthew 23, verse 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to His disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Can you insert hypocrite in there? For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. There are some haughty places they got to sit at. For instance, when we started this in verse 2, thing called Moses' seat. This was a seat that was reserved for elected speakers, teachers, men of God, you might say, that got the privilege of sitting up there. I mean, by the way, who was the greatest prophet in all of Israel's history? Moses. Moses. So it was this great honor for a man to sit up there in Moses' seat. Did you hear about Rabbi so-and-so? He sat in Moses' seat. So it gave him credibility. Then they had chief seats in the synagogues. Don't know how many. It was multiple seats. And it was a privilege to sit in there. Because they're lifted up above the people. And they loved the people that would come to them and give them praise. He said they make broad their phylacteries. Only time that word's used in your Bible. Only time. And basically what it is, they'll take parchment paper and they'll write verses on that parchment paper. And in researching this, it was verses out of the Old Testament where the Lord spoke about having Israel having God near their heart, and Israel having God on the frontlets. In other words, their thought, their mindset was all about God. Their heart was all about God. So they would write these verses from the Old Testament on this parchment paper, then roll it up and slip it in these little tubes, and there was a wood box that they were laid in. And they would take the box with the scripture on it, and they would put it on their upper arm, where when it rested, it was near the heart. Then they would take the box with a band and put it on their forehead, the frontlet, the mind, and it applied. In other words, God is on my heart and on my mind for you. And so they sat in the upper seats, Moses' seat, and they got the praise and support of the people. So that's what Jesus Christ came into. You think He came into this world and everybody just said, let's go, here He is? No. He stepped into what we call a hornet's nest. What do I mean by that? Ye or your father, the devil. He came into a house that was being run by the devil himself, who have children in the house, and they are unruly. They'll kind of show up on your 6 o'clock news. Just saying. They're unruly. They didn't accept the Son of God because they're not children of God. They're the children of the devil. You have a big fight going on here. So the Lord is identifying them. And He says in verse 7, they love the greetings in the market. In the markets, I bet so. Hey, Rabbi. Hey, Father. And to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye brethren. Your brethren. Rabbi was a word that was reserved for these men. It was a word that implied father or great teacher in their community. A great teacher of the Hebrew religion, the Jewish religion, was Rabbi so-and-so. It's like deeming a title to an individual and maintaining that title. So from here on out, I am Dr. Rumfellow, just to let you know. I'm not Hey You anymore or, oh, what's your name? Dr. Rumfellow. No. They love the titles. That's what they love. And so they just ate that up. Wherever they went, they wanted to be acknowledged. But Christ told them otherwise, told His disciples otherwise. Said, be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. And that is the Rabbi thing. It could have been used in either direction. In other words, if you looked at this man and referred to him as Rabbi, Father, you're basically saying, I am subjected to you as a child is to the Father. And Jesus Christ is telling His disciples, no. There's no man on this earth that's your father. You have one, and that's God Almighty. You're children of Him. And you too are that have trusted in Jesus Christ. You got one father. One father. And He's not the devil. Why? Because you've trusted in Christ. And you've been transformed into the kingdom of His dear Son. What great news that is, right? Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. He just goes on and on. I mean, he's just tearing them up. Look over in verses 27. Go over to 27. In verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. They tell you to do, they lay heavy burdens upon you on men's shoulders, but they won't lift one of their fingers to do anything. That's hypocritical. And what did he say right here? At the end of verse 28, within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And you run iniquity through your Bible. You know who it connects back to? You know where the root goes? Right to the devil. Iniquity. And so, I mean, he is just laying it out there. And I thought about this. You think maybe that's kind of an issue we're facing today? Do you think men today are portraying themselves to be a little better than others? In most cases, a lot better than others? Folks, there isn't anything good about anybody in this world. You have people that maybe morally you'd like to have living by you because your house is less likely to be broken into, you know, that type thing, car less likely to be stolen. They're people, but we're all rotten. There aren't any good, and the Lord knew this. That's why he could come out and say what he said. But these people, not only do they have a sin nature about them as we do, they're rejecting the one that God sent. There's an evil to that. There's an evil to that. It goes beyond just you being a sinner and having sins in your life. The dancing, smoking, gambling, chewing, spitting, whatever. You know, preachers preach on that all the time. But there's another sin that man can commit that goes much deeper. And it's the rejection of the truth, which is Christ loved you and gave himself for you and died for your sins and was buried and raised again the third day. That's the good news for man today, is that trusting in him, your sins are forgiven. Trusting in him, you're risen with the Lord. Trusting in him, you've got a gift. It's called eternal life. Can't get any better than that, folks. That's the truth. And that's the truth that God delivers today. So don't reject that truth. They rejected the truth that Jesus Christ came with. Now, if you notice something about reading about these Pharisees and all, if I had a graph like a board behind me and I had a marker like behind me, I could draw a graph back there. And you know what it would look like? Pharisee. It would go up, 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 up. If you notice, everything about them is to be up, is to be above. Think about that. Think about it a moment. When the devil came to Jesus Christ, he'd been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness. You know what he did? He took him up to a pinnacle, far above. There's something about the devil that likes to go up. He says in his words, the devil's words, when he rebelled against God, he said, I will be like God. I will ascend to the sides of the north. His goal is to take over God's position on the throne. That's his goal. Up, up, up. Something different about Jesus Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And his children are just like him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Hold that. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1. So you get there and turn to Philippians. Hang a right. Go a number of books over. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And look in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that tell you right there? The word let means to like allow. Allow it. Let them in. Allow them in. Let this mind, allow this mind to be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Do you see something a little different with Christ? As the Pharisees were all going up, Moses' seat, the chief seats in the synagogue, loving the praise of man. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, was a servant. You can't get lower than a servant. A servant is subject to all people. A servant is subject to the master. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was a servant. Let this mind be in you. Don't get high-minded on me, as the Bible would say. Don't think above yourself more than you ought. We just sinners saved by the grace of God. Keep it humble, folks. Keep it humble. He was a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. That in of itself is a humbling thing, because he was in glory with God the Father and then came down to the likeness of men. And by the way, to have you notice, he had all power to heal all diseases. He never healed himself. He suffered the pains, the illness, the sickness of the flesh, so he could relate to us what we go through. So when you're complaining come Monday morning and you have to go to work and you're not feeling good, the Lord knows about it. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Don't put it on Facebook, because it won't solve anything. And I don't want to wake up and hear that. I want to hear, hey, I went to church, I'm up and ready to go. Being found in fashion, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Think about that, the cross. Now, I said 1 Corinthians chapter 1, go back there. Verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. That's verse 17, 1 Corinthians 1, 17. So he's talking about the cross of Christ. Well, to preach the cross, Paul wasn't sent to baptize. You don't have to baptize to preach the cross. So he's pushing that baptism to the side, because it's in the cross that men are saved. For the, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what? Believe. Not works for anything. Believe. Believe what? Believe about the cross. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. And he was raised again the third day. We believe in that. We trust in that. We're saved. But the Bible says that's foolishness. The world thinks that as foolishness, because they're looking at it going, wait, we know the tradition of a cross. We know criminals hung on a cross. And on Wednesday night, by the way, we trailed the cross. You know where the first hanging of a man on a tree took place? Took place under the rule of Pharaoh in Egypt. They hung a man on a tree for his birthday, by the way. And they hung a man. That was the first time in your Bible you see an individual hung on a tree. It came out of pagan religion. So when it talks about Christ going to the cross and despising the shame was that he was identified on that cross. But he went there for us. He humbled himself, lowered himself to go to the cross and suffer as a vile sinner. As a vile sinner. He was without sin. But on that cross, the Bible says he was made sin for us. Why? So we could be made the righteousness of God in him. And so this is foolishness. Man can't figure this out. Man in his wisdom could never figure this out. If God had not told us the method of salvation in his word, how would you ever conclude the whole message that God's Son would come into this world and die on the cross? Our thinking is this. He's going to come down and he's going to put a whooping on some folks. He's going to have a throwdown. He's going to kill people. He's going to swing the sword. He's going to lob off heads. He's going to take over the kingdom and rule this world. That's what it tells us. I mean, come on, folks. They're talking about wars all the time. They're about to blow up over there in the Ukraine. We're always having wars. That's the nature of men. If you want power, you kill, you destroy, you take over. did he do it? Humbled himself and went to the cross. He didn't fight. When those Roman soldiers grabbed him and they laid him out, his arms just flopped out there and they drove the nails in there. He never said a word. As a lamb to the slaughter, he openeth not his mouth. He didn't fight. He laid there and took the nails in the hands and in the feet and then hung up in front of all mankind, naked, the Creator of heaven and earth, hanging there naked, despising the shame. Why? Because he knows if I go there and I die, I can save Mark Rumfella. I can save him and anybody else that'll believe in me. It's a powerful message. That isn't in your psyche. God had to reveal that to you. That's his form of operation to overtake the devil. He caught him in a trap. You remember John chapter 8? The Lord said, you're of your father the devil. He was a what from the beginning? What? A murderer. You know what the devil wants to do? Put up your dukes, God. I'm going to take the throne. We're going to battle. So he sends his son in, and his son don't put up the dukes. Matter of fact, before they nailed him to the cross, I could call down a legion of angels. That's all he had to do. Father, send me a legion. And it would have been, boom, over in a heartbeat. Done. But where does that leave us? Lost in our sins, having no way to have our sins forgiven. No way! You say, well, I'll live good. Well, good. You'll match up with those in Matthew chapter 23. You'll be good and white and clean on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside. You'll look good on the outside, but you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity inside. God knows what we are. After all, he's the manufacturer. You know, when you buy a product, it's God. If you have any problem with this thing, please return to the manufacturer, and they'll give you one that's been reserviced, right? You got the same problem. Well, God can't reservice you. We broke, folks. We come off the assembly line, broke. The mold was broke with Adam. The mold was broke with Eve. Well, you're not going to produce fixed people from that thing. We're broke. So the only thing he could do is send his son to die for our sins. And in so doing, when we trust in him, guess what? We become what's called in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a new creature. So he didn't remodel us, shape us, make us, and go, what would Jesus do? He destroyed us in Christ. As Christ died and his flesh died on that cross, we were in him and we died too. And as Christ was buried, we were buried too. And as Christ was ascended and raised up and seated at God's right hand, the Bible's clear. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's something that'll put some O in your Cheerios. Unless you eat Fruit Loops. And that's a different story for a different message. That's how God took care of it. Now tell me, if you didn't have the Word of God telling you that, how would you know about it? You see, it's foolishness to man. Man that don't believe, it's foolishness. You've got to be kidding me. Why would I believe something like that? I don't need anything like that. I've got my tradition. My mama and daddy went to that church over there, and their mama and daddy, and their mama and daddy, and my daddy was an elder, and he was a co-pastor, and they just run it down for all their tradition. Tradition. As Paul said, Christ made himself of no reputation. So quit making any efforts to make yourself of reputation. In closing here, go down to verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, because they're above foolishness. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Nobody will ever leave out of this life and go before God and glory in the fleshly things they did for God. And every Sunday, people are going to a church where they're told, you need to live for Jesus, you need to turn your life around, you need to straighten your life up. It's all a repair shop, folks. You can't fix this. This is broke. It's broke, and it's going to wind up in a grave. You can't fix it. If you could, men would fix it, and they'd never die. You know how I know it can't be fixed? Because I'm going to go home a route that's going to take me in front of a funeral home with graves back there. And I look back there, they're all broken. That's why they wound up there. Everyone. All the hundreds of them back there. God can fix you. He's the only one. And when He fixes you, you don't have a life that just gets better. Party favors popping, balloons dropping. It don't just get better. It goes beyond that. You have a gift. It's called eternal life. Your body will go in the grave. But you, that soul and spirit that's inside of you, shoo, take off, man. If I died right here, right now, massive coronary or whatever, and I just fell over, what none of you would see is my soul and spirit would come out of that dead body and go up to be with the Lord. You wouldn't see it. But by listening to this message, I have trusted in the Lord, and I know it had happened, and by my testimony, you can know it's happening to me. And by your faith in Christ, the day that ticker stops, your heart, you'll go be with the Lord. That's God's promise to you, that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. There's no might in shall. You shall be saved. You will be saved by the grace of God, and that is the only way you can be saved. Get out of the religious system. All they're going to do is try to build you up, pump you up, and make you think you're better than what you are. You're not. Sorry to hammer you and beat you down before we eat, but none of us are no good. So let's go fill our no good bodies up for food. Stay low cholesterol and avoid the fat. All right, well, trust in the Lord is the conclusion of this message. Trust in Him, because that's the beautiful revealed truth of God Almighty, not the hidden things of dishonesty. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for this time and opportunity and the blessedness of Your Word that gives us such hope of the life that's in Christ Jesus. And I pray if there's any here that's never trusted in Jesus Christ, that right now, while we're in prayer, that put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ so they could have the eternal life that You provide through Him. And we give You thanks and praise for those that are here that have trusted. And with that said, we just want to give You all thanks and give You an amen. And we close with an amen. Thank you all.